if you can ensure that over the years with the ups and downs of any business, you never, ever change anything other than use the real fundamentals and the real numbers, you become exactly what we are today, which is a trusted real estate resource for not just investors, but we interview all the time for the market because we have built a reputation of using conservative numbers is the bottom line.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Simeon Papa Elias is a commercial broker, and he's the founder of the Broker's Playbook. Simeon, welcome to the show.
My pleasure to be here, my friend.
Hey, man. Glad to have you on. Three questions I ask every guest who comes on the show in 90 seconds or less. Where did you start? Where are you now? How did you get there?
It's a big time limit. I started about 17 years ago in real estate, and I started by selling businesses. I started selling restaurants, so the actual business of the restaurant, not the building. Born and raised in the hospitality business, so it's an arena I knew well, and I was able to very easily resonate and connect with restaurant owners looking to potentially either retire or get into a different type of business. So I was able to attract that business and flip those businesses quickly.
Right. So that's where you started. Where are you now?
Over the last 16 years, we've grown to be Canada's biggest investment-focused realtor group. We produce almost $750 million a year in sales,
wow,
about 800 transactions a year. And we've been doing that now for the last 5-6 years, kind of at the pinnacle of the organization. I love selling real estate. I love helping people and educating people. And we're going to do this thing till the wheels fall off, man.
I love it. Okay. So, you know, third part of that is, how did you get there?
That's an intricate story. That could be an hour on its own. The bottom line, my friend, is I've leveraged networking and relationships. I'm a very social person by nature, but I call our firm, it's the empire that food built. And what I mean by that is there is never a single chance on this planet that somebody's going to buy me lunch. I buy people lunch. And I create reciprocity. I create happiness. Food creates happiness. When you're eating with someone, it's very difficult not to like them. Meaning, if you don't like somebody, you're not going for lunch with them. Because food is an intimate action. No matter how high level or low level you look at it, every single time you're speaking to somebody on the phone while having lunch, it's either your wife, kid, your friend, or you're dining with somebody with intent. I have a partner, and as the partner who is in charge of business development, I built it one relationship at a time, never burnt a single soul on this earth, not for a single transaction. We built our reputation and our network that way.
I love it. Roughly $750 million in deals a year, and you said it was over approximately 800 transactions, which take to roughly $1 million a deal on average. Obviously, you have some probably bigger or smaller than that. What is your target client? What are you selling? $1 million at a time on average that people are buying?
Yeah. So first and foremost, we're very blessed to be in a highly valuated market. I operate out of Central Toronto, which is the Greater Toronto Area, the GTA, as it's known. And it's literally the highest valuated market in North America today. And I'm not referring to comparison to Manhattan. What I'm referring to is we have the most cranes in the sky. We have the highest price jumps in appreciation and rental rates year over year for the last 6 years. So we have a number of people coming into the country. Obviously, we all see what's happening on the globe today. Canada has been and continues to have an image and enjoy an image of peace and prosperity, where things are a bit slower than America specifically, where they're now enjoying that consistent stream of qualified immigration into the country. Those things are boosting this market. I mean, it is nearly at bubble level. I mean, at this point, you got to start seeing a little, like, with inflation rising, there is going to be, in my opinion, fallout all across North America based on what's happening. But right, getting to a million on average per transaction, the average transaction in the GTA is a million. It's not specifically who the client is to attract that tag. We're transacting regular real estate in a highly valuated market.
What are you advising your clients to buy right now that makes sense?
Yeah. So I don't think the growth is going to slow down at all. Not at all. Across spectrum, on the other side of that pendulum, I do believe it's actually going to go higher. And it's not going to go higher by 22% a year like we've been seeing, like nonsense things that are not both not viable, not safe, and not good enough for agents, not for anyone. To have massive swings in a commodity that's supposed to be the safest on the planet is probably the worst thing you want to see. But seeing stable growth at that 4 to 6% per annum is where you want to see things. You're hedging against inflation. You have affordability at some kind of a decent rate, where right now the Toronto market is not affordable.
Right.
So any first-time home buyer cannot look, and I would say not anyone, but 90% of first-time home buyers cannot look at the city of Toronto for their housing needs. A condo is literally trading downtown Toronto at $1,700 a foot. It's not viable. You're not making enough money to support yourself. And to rent, the rents are also, we're talking about a one bedroom at $2,400, $2,500. So it has become that little Manhattan. It has become that little downtown LA. It has become that little downtown San Fran, where the circumstances of the economy have allowed a real little monster to emerge. And there's many reasons for it. But as a basic premise, my advice to consumers, to investors today, is to pay very close attention to the micro market they're investing in. Saying buying anything in Toronto and I'll make money is dumb. It's a rash and generalized decision that leads to hurt. And what I advise is strong due diligence, market fundamentals. What is our demand? What is the transit plans? What is the employment prospects in the said neighborhood? Is there tech companies coming? Is there warehousing companies coming? What's your plan of life? Match it with your lifestyle or your target audience, your tenant's lifestyle, and invest in those micro markets. So deep due diligence more than ever.
Absolutely. Tell me, is there an asset class that you guys are actively avoiding?
There is not. I mean, the single family homes have become the rage because of the supply and demand. Ontario specifically, the state that we're, the province that we're in, equivalent to your state, Ontario has some of the most archaic, backwards development bylaws in North America. And that red tape allows this market to happen. So there's a million things that the government could do to alleviate some of the stress on housing. They just cannot get out of their own way between politicians, between planners, between policymakers. All of the things have just created this perfect storm with the immigration numbers that we have to have this. So there's nothing really I would tell a client not to get into, but there are assets better than others. Right now, condominiums, new construction condominiums, where you're going to put a proportionate share, because actually pre-sales of condominiums work differently in the United States. And this is maybe an opportunity for US investors, maybe something for them to look at. Basically, here, we have to put down staggered deposits. Okay. And it's an actual deal. In the US, you don't have to commit to that deal. For example, I was just doing deals in Florida with one of my working partners down there. We sold 35 condos down in Orlando. And there, the client is not committed to the deal until closing. They can walk away. Where here in Canada, they cannot walk away. It's more of a reservation system in Florida. I don't know if it's across all the United States or that's just proprietary to Florida. But here you can't. Here you're locked in. So the developer cannot change the terms of the deal. So if you're buying today and it's going to be delivered in 3 or 4 years, you're buying at today's price. So let's call it a two-bedroom condominium for $700,000, just for fun.
Right.
The appreciation is going to be whatever it's going to be. It has been obscene, but let's call it even a 5% a year. So 35 grand a year.
Right.
Your deposit structures here, that is where the opportunity is created. You're going to put 5% down now, 5% next year, 5% the year after, 5% on closing. Your required 20% investment into the condominium is done staggered over time, which now starts to kick in the IRR. So your ROI literally jumps massive. And with 35K a year at 5% up and your deposit's 5%, you're literally making 100% a year on paper.
Right.
Should you keep it, you can refinance that thing on closing and literally take all your money out and still have 80% equity into the project.
Right.
So that specific strategy is what I deployed for myself and my partner over the last decade. And we built a massive condo portfolio, literally using the market winds. Winds were in our sales. We took advantage. We literally don't have a dime of our own cash or risk for that matter in that portfolio with hundreds of thousands, well, in this point, millions in equity across the portfolio.
That's really fascinating. I love small things like that that make a big difference in how you execute. You guys are an investor-focused broker firm. I mean, so you're not just an active investor here as well, but you're also an investor-focused broker firm. And I think we talked off air, you have 50-something agents that are working for you guys right now. What does that mean? And how do you feel like you guys differentiate yourself, maybe even from other commercial real estate brokerage firms?
Yeah, for us, it's 100% what we like to call world-class service. My partner specifically, we have two very unique positions that we've created. So my partner literally works mine in his internal database. And our database is about 10,000 strong. Those are people who have come in to speak to Simeon, to speak to Jess Tacker, who's my partner. And I think he would make a great guest on your show as well, just to be honest with you. He's a podcast superhero. But he works our database. He also writes the systems alongside our VP of sales and marketing, Laura Stewart, on the customer journey. So how they're marketed to, how they're not sold, how they are sold. So what opportunities do we present? I, on the other hand, source the inventory. When you have 10,000 investors, the appetite on a market that's jumping 15 and 20% a year is massive. So what we have done is I go out, I have the relationship with the developers, the builders, and our strategic partners. I bring the inventory in after we qualify it and negotiate incentives for any said project. And then it goes straight into a launch scenario where the interested investors put up their hand. Our team reaches out, takes them through the due diligence that's already been done, the initiatives that have already been negotiated, and the incentives, closing costs, everything is put on a one pager showing exactly what the projected expectation should be. And if you can ensure that over the years with the ups and downs of any business, you never, ever change anything other than use the real fundamentals and the real numbers, you become exactly what we are today, which is a trusted real estate resource for not just investors, but we interview all the time for the market because we have built a reputation of using conservative numbers is the bottom line.
Right. No, I think that's great. So Simeon, tell me this, when it comes to the financing side of things, this is a question I'm asking people a lot right now, because in times past, when we've had downturns, recessions, corrections, people have gotten caught on the wrong side of financing. What are you guys advising your clients to do right now as it pertains to the properties they're financing?
Yeah, I mean, you got to watch it like a hawk right now. So the Fed on your side of the border and the Fed on our side of the border, every time the US makes an announcement, within 2 days, Canada makes its own announcement because our economies are that interrelated. So right now we're going to be seeing double ticks up, meaning not a quarter point basis, but rather going to be going up by half a point. I was hoping, and I actually put it on the record out there in January, that we're going to see 2 to 4 increases this year, but it looks like I was wrong and we're going to see 4 to 7 increases this year, or the equivalent to. So if that's the case where they're going to try to reverse the quantitative easing they did during the pandemic, there is going to be fallout. There's going to be some massive deltas with some bleeding properties out there. And what do I mean by that to make myself ultra clear? You bought $1 million, your financing was approved at 1.6% because of record lows, and you thought your rent of $3,000 a month or whatever the case may be, it was a great investment because you were cash flowing $5 a month. Well, again, the difference between doing due diligence properly, including a 3 or 5 year plan, knowing where rates are going, that's the difference between brokers and advice. I would never advise a client to do anything. If this was a cash flowing play, they would have to be able to cover it at the posted rate, not at what they got approved at, because the posted rate is always 2, 3, 4 points higher than what's the actual rate. If your property doesn't stand against the posted rate, you can't make it work because the risk is too high. Because if you're a school teacher making 80 grand a year and the property is X, whatever the case may be, where's the money going to come from?
Right.
You're going to end up putting it up for power of sale through whatever process your state has. And then you're going to say, real estate didn't work for me. You didn't work for you. Finance will never change. Finance will go up. Finance will go down. It's tied to the economy. It's tied to the market. It is up to you to determine your investment strategy. If you're going after capital appreciation, you better be able to bear the storm of negative cash flow. So if you're investing in Toronto, you're not investing for cash flow. You're buying it at 2.5 cap. You know you're going to be red.
Right.
But you also know you're going up 50 grand a year, almost guaranteed.
Right.
So it depends who you are, what your pocket can handle.
That's really interesting. I think especially on the financing side, how, I mean, especially for you, you know, if you're buying for appreciation. So a lot of what you guys, if I'm hearing you correctly, you're buying things out of the gate that aren't going to make sense as a cash flow play.
That is absolutely correct.
Wow. Yeah. It's a very different strategy.
Well, it's a speculative strategy.
Right.
It's based on real market fundamentals. Yeah. So although you know as a fact that the numbers are going to be skewed the wrong way as to what you know should be right, there is enough data to support the growth projection.
Right.
To ignore it would also be foolish. I'm not saying put the farm on it, because you should never do that ever.
Sure.
But if you know as a fact that there's a shortage of almost 40,000 units a year across any market, and the policy, the time, the supply chain constraints are not going to allow it to be fixed for at least another 5 years, if you have the money, you'd be a fool not to invest.
Right.
But for you to put yourself at risk or in danger just to maybe partake in it, that's wrong. So you have to be able to know, look at yourself in the mirror, know who you are, what kind of stress you can take, and govern accordingly, right?
Are you helping your clients do that underwriting side of things? Or I guess maybe you putting that together when you say, hey, this is the deal, this is the financing that might make sense if you can line it up?
100% we do. That is exactly what we do. And that's what, again, as to what sets us apart, we offer full suite analytics supported by real data. And it's always as part of a schedule to whatever email with any suggestion that goes out. So you're not going to get a, this is what I think, or loosey goosey. You're going to get fully supported research and proof as to what we're recommending.
Yeah. And I think with packaging that up, because a lot of stuff you'll get, I think, on the commercial real estate side is, you know, they'll show you the deal underwritten with, like you said, loosey goosey, a couple, hey, if it was, you know, you're dead at this percentage, this is what it could look like versus here's the one we'd absolutely recommend for your project.
I mean, did you look at the capital expenditures, the remaining life of the equipment inside, the mechanical room, the roof, the asphalt, the walls, the moisture? Like there's, again, people think, oh, let me look at the rent roll that's on the back of a napkin. That's it. Great. No, bro, not great. Because you're going to be in a couple hundred thousand the first year, which is going to turn everything upside down, right?
Absolutely. What's one mistake you feel that you have either made or maybe you see some of your clients making that you could help others avoid?
It's the same one I made when I was younger and the same one I see all the time is clients not doing enough digging. It's every single pot of gold is hidden under some dirt. It's never out in the open or else somebody would have already had it. So in order for anybody to win in real estate, just like anything else on the planet, you can't just read a book and succeed. You can't just, you know, throw a dart at the wall and hit the bullseye. It just doesn't work. You got to practice, you got to dig, and you have to engage in building a power team of trusted professionals in your market. And that is the number one piece of advice that I would give to any investor. If you're in Toronto, by all means, hit us up. If you're in Vancouver, if you're in Seattle, if you're in San Francisco, there's a million meetups. There's a million resources where you can Google it, local real estate meetups. Speak to other investors. Who did you work with? What was it like? What did they do for you? Did you have to pay them? Don't look for free. Look for the right professional that wants to hit exactly what you do straight on at all times.
I love it. Simeon, thank you for your time today. We've covered a lot of fun topics, everything from financing to where you guys are finding opportunity down to, you know, building a investor-focused brokerage firm. It's been a blast. Certainly enjoyed it. If our listeners want to get in touch with you, what is the best way to do that?
My handle across all social media profiles is spapailias, S-P-A-P-A-I-L-I-A-S, as well as if you just Google Broker's Playbook, you're going to find our industry-facing podcast, which is the Real Estate and Mortgage Professionals Investor's Playbook for the Investor, which is launching on April 15th.
Congratulations. Simeon, thank you again.
My pleasure, Sam. It was awesome to be here. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.